Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. You know, one of the problems that we have today in church is a lot of people are consumer driven. They want to sit there and they want to be spectators instead of participants. And they feel that way about revival. You know, people think, well, revival comes from the evangelist's hip pocket or his briefcase. Listen, folks, true revival comes from heaven, one heart at a time. And you're a free will agent. When God speaks to you, if you want to, you can be obstinate and you can disobey and you can refuse to move when He tells you to move. Some of you, this may be the day of your salvation. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've been in an old-fashioned altar. Amen? But here's what I want to tell you. The one thing God wants from you is for you to be obedient. When God speaks, you move. If it's to give, if it's to go, whatever it is, you be obedient. I want you to stand with me as we honor God's word today. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a great future and a great hope. Father God, we love you and praise you and thank you. Lord, I praise you for this day. I thank you for the breath that you have given us. Lord, I pray today that you would bind the evil one from coming against any family represented here today. Lord, I pray today that you would just fill this place, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, with your angels, usher angels all around this place. Let this altar be free. Lord, give us great liberty and freedom to preach your word, to receive your word, and most importantly, to respond to you and your word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Folks, all last year we were planning for a wedding. My daughter was scheduled to be married in June. I remember several years ago, I served as an executive committee member in Georgia. And several years ago, our pastor came in late. He was on the executive committee as well. And he was sitting completely across from me, and I noticed that he had a young man with him. And at the break time, they came up to me and introduced the young man. He said, "This is Mikey Glass. He's going to be working with our youth." Mikey later told me, he said, "Man, I was attracted to you because you were the only one in the room that had spiky hair." I told him at my age, I was glad it was just hanging on. Amen. But I remember having that conversation with him and him eager to know about evangelism. And then afterwards, I went home and I never shared it with my daughter. But I told my wife, I said, "You know, I met somebody today that I think Macy would like." And it was funny because when she first met him, she couldn't stand him. He was older, about 6-7 years older than her. And she had been helping with the youth for a long time. And all of a sudden, she came down from the youth room. It was upstairs. And she told one of her friends, "What are all those weirdos doing up there with the youth?" And that was her opinion of him. He had a big, big, big personality. Man, when he would come in a room, he would just, you know, come in and it would be epic. "What's up?" I mean, he just had one of those personalities that he was never down. And Macy told me when she fell in love with him, she said that he took her to the aquarium. They went to the aquarium and the aquarium's got some stairs. And you got to keep in mind, Macy's a very private person, very quiet person. And he just wasn't. So all of a sudden on the stairs, there's a little platform. And they were going to the aquarium, and He pulls out his phone on that platform and starts playing music and grabs my shy daughter and starts dancing with her out in the middle of God and everybody. And she said she just fell in love with him. I'll never forget when I came home from preaching. He was sitting in my family room and he had this big smile on his face. It was that smile of the cat ate the canary. And he said, "Well, we're dating." I wore her down. And that was literal. He literally wore her down. Amen. But man, they dated and they worked together at the church. Had incredible vacation Bible schools together for the youth. By all accounts, the best the church had ever had. And then last January, he called me up. And he said, "Mr. Fawcett, I'd like to take you to lunch." Well, I knew what that was. So I showed up about 30 minutes late. Made him real good and nervous, amen. And he sat down and he said, "I love Macy with all my heart." He said, "I want to spend the rest of my life with her." He said, "I want to marry her. But I can't marry her unless I have your blessing and unless you do the service." And I said, "Well, the short answer to both is yes." And then we talked for about 2.5 hours. Man, time rolled on. We were so excited. We were doing every single thing that Macy wanted. We've got 3 daughters. That was our first daughter's wedding. And man, we were getting all the little special things. There was a little plaque that she wanted to carry that, "Mikey, here comes your bride." And man, we were so excited. We were 4 days out from the wedding. And Monday night, Tuesday morning, I got a call. I wasn't asleep yet. It was about 1:30. Anytime you get a call from your children late at night like that, it's not a good thing. And all of a sudden, I saw Macy's name on the phone. And I answered and I said, "Hey." And she said, "Daddy, meet me at the emergency room. Mikey's tried to kill himself." And you know, folks, when you hear that kind of information, You just can't process it. You're so shocked. And I said again, I said, what? And she said, "Daddy, meet me at the emergency room. Mikey's tried to kill himself." I went and woke my wife up and we raced up to the emergency room. And we got there, and normally when you get to the emergency room, you know, there's sick people everywhere, whenever you go. But man, this night it was just crickets. There was nobody there. It was a ghost town. It was so eerie. And my wife went up to the reception and she asked her, she said, "Do you have Michael Glass?" She said, "No." We walked outside and I called Macy again and I said, "Macy, honey, we're here." She said, "Daddy, we're almost there. I'm in the officer's car behind the ambulance." And about that time, I could hear the siren in the distance. Man, the ambulance came up and it just veered off. And the officer's car, SUV, stopped right in front of us. And she got out and she came around that corner and she just collapsed on the ground in front of us. And she was just crying and just over and over again, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." See, earlier in the night, she had been out to the house that they were going to live in. It was a farmhouse on his daddy's farm. Man, it was a beautiful little house. They had just completed decorating it. Had scripture all over the wall. On the door mantle, it said, "Glass Family Established 2018. She had left that night. Mikey had mental illness. He had issues. He'd went off his medicine. He said it made him feel like a zombie. And Macy was really a caretaker. She took care of him. She put him back together every day. And that night, she waited until he fell asleep, and she went home. And she was about 25 minutes away. And she got a weird text. And the text said, "If I die, just know that I love you like crazy." So she raced out to the house, and she called him and texted him and called him and texted him and called him and texted him and never could get a response. And when she walked in that back door of that little farmhouse, man, every hope, every dream she ever had was just flushed in an instant. He had put a plastic bag over his head, and he'd run a tube up in the plastic bag, and he pulled the drawstring, and he had an apparatus that shot gases, and he created a gas chamber for himself. And the coroner said if there had been one or two, that he would have just been numb, but Macy said they were everywhere. And she went in and she jerked the bag off his head. She called 911 and she put him on the ground, and she began to do CPR. She did CPR on him for over 20, 25 minutes by herself out there in that little house. She said to me, she said, "Daddy, I felt like there were demons all around that were just laughing at me." And I said, "Honey, spiritual warfare is real. There were demons." Man, she got up off that ground. One of the girls that worked at the hospital was going to be in her wedding. She played basketball with her all during high school. Nikki got her up and she guided us back to the chapel. We got to the chapel. There was his dad. His dad was a OBYGN. He was on call that night. He was in his scrubs and he was laying in the floor and he had his face in a chair. And he looked up at us with a look that, as long as I live, church, I'll never forget that look. Macy said to me later, she pictured that look as being the look God had on his face when Jesus was on the cross. It was just a broken, empty, hurting. After a little while, the trauma doctor came in, and he had a conversation with Dr. Glass. He told him, "We've done everything we can do." He said he's not going to make it. And I know Macy heard. I went over to her and I said, "Honey, they've done everything. They're going to call it. He's not going to make it." Church, walking with her back through those aisles of that hospital, into that trauma room, and watching my baby girl brush his hair and kiss his cheek over and over and over. Brush his hair and kiss his cheek. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Man, it was just like the most helpless feeling that I've ever had as a father. Watching my baby girl's heart break in a million pieces. That went on for almost an hour. On the way home, Macy was in the back seat. Her mother was holding her. I was looking and talking to her through the rearview mirror. She said, "Daddy, I did everything I could do to save him." I said, "Honey, if love could have saved him, you would have saved him. You did everything." I said, "He was fixated on taking his life." Folks, can I tell you something? Suicide is never, ever, ever the answer. Most people hurt. Most people go through dark times. And a lot of people, if truth be known, think about it. But you got to realize that's from the devil. And you don't let it take root. Because God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. You're not worthless no matter what the devil will tell you. The devil will beat you down. The devil's a liar. Man, Macy, we went from planning a wedding to on a dime planning a funeral. And she started making all the arrangements. I'll never forget my wife calling me and she said, Macy just told me, she said, Mama, most people that do this are in their 60s or 70s. She said, I'm 21 years old. She said, Macy wants to do the eulogy. I said, okay. She said she wants to be at the church at the time of the wedding. I said, okay. She wanted to go in and pray. Man, in the state of Georgia, when it's a suicide, it's an automatic autopsy. They took him to the crime lab, and the body was released on Thursday. And if you'd have followed the time frame, the funeral should have been on Saturday, but that's when the wedding was going to be, so they couldn't do the funeral on the wedding day. So we did it on Sunday. But I'll never forget my wife coming in, and this was on the day of what should have been the wedding. She said, honey, you need to go look at Macy's Facebook. I said, well, just tell her to tag me. She said, no, you need to go look at it. She wrote a letter to my groom. She said, this was not how this day was supposed to go. And then she just shared her heart. That afternoon at 3, we met out there at the church. We met with his family. And Macy wanted to go in, so her wishes, we wanted to do anything that would help her heal. We all stood in the back, and she walked that aisle of that empty church all by herself. What should have been the happiest moment of her life. And she laid down on that altar and she cried and she prayed and she cried and she prayed. And she had every one of the songs that was going to be in the wedding on her phone. And she listened to every one of those songs and just pictured in her mind their wedding. She looked at me when she got up and she said, well, Dad, I'd be married right now. I'll never forget the next day when it came time for the funeral. We really didn't know if Macy was going to be able to physically do it. And man, I watched that day, grace and strength from above, like I've never seen. She wanted to do that eulogy because she knew she was the only one that could capture the essence of who he was. I'll never forget her telling a story about he was always worried about money. And he was worried about saving gas. So when he came into the farm, it was going down a windy road, and he turned the key off. And he got down to the bottom of the house, and he had his foot on the brake. When he leaned over to kiss her, he kissed her and he let his foot off the brake, and it ran into the house. And it woke his parents up. And, you know, his dad went, what's going on? And his mother said, oh, that's just Mikey. Folks, he called himself Mr. Smooth, but he was really clumsy. I'll never forget Macy sharing the Saturday night before. She'd posted on Facebook, this is my last Saturday night as a Fawcett. And she said he recreated that date. He took her back to the aquarium. And he pulled out his phone and they danced on that same platform. And she said at the end of the dance, fireworks went off. And you can't even plan that. She said it was just magical. She told the story about how she fell in love with him, and then she told about him. They had asked me to get up and do the invitation. Man, I got up and shared. You know, the three things that I always tell young people. You got to get Jesus right or you go to hell. Who you marry right or you'll live in hell. Whoever been married 60 years, that wasn't a good place for an amen, brother. You're in enough trouble. Amen. And then what you do for a living. You're called to do something. You're formed in your mama's womb to do something. Well, he got Jesus right. He was saved. Some of you say, man, how in the world, if he was a minister of the gospel, could he do something like that? Because we're all sinners. Listen, we're sinners saved by grace, but we're all sinners. He was going to get the wedding right because he was going to marry my beautiful daughter. And he got the third right. He was a minister. Man, he preached. He had so much talent. He had so much unbelievable potential. You know, that's one of the saddest things that can ever be said about you. Boy, he had potential. Boy, she had potential. Because that means you never lived up to it. Folks, cutting his life short like he did was a terrible, awful, permanent decision. And what he did, he's in heaven. Suicide is not the unforgivable sin. He's saved. Listen, the unforgivable sin, the sin unto death, is when you die without Jesus in your heart. You've got to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. But he missed out on so much blessing. He missed out on a lifetime of ministry. He missed out on a lifetime of marriage. He missed out on children. He missed out on so many blessings. Listen, I remember when I was 21 years old, my dad died. I was depressed. I was discouraged. I got a DUI. I had a fight with my mom. I moved out of the house. We were having arguments. My girlfriend broke up with me. I mean, are you getting what I'm saying? I'm on a friend's couch at Christmas. Everybody's having Christmas except me. I thought about suicide. But guess what? I pushed through it. Now look at my life. Happily married 27 years, 4 beautiful children that I adore, a ministry that's taken me all over the world. I wouldn't have missed this for nothing. God has great things in store for you. Listen, today I wish I was good enough to look out and say, hey, you're saved and you're lost and you're saved and you're lost and you're saved and you're lost. You're saved and you're lost and you're saved and you're lost. You're saved and you're lost. But I'm not that good. But you know what I know? I know that God's Holy Spirit will convict you, will draw you. And Jesus loved you so much that he stepped out of the splendor of heaven. Listen, he was born of a virgin via the Virgin Mary, lived 33 and a half sinless years, went to that cross. Listen, on the way to that cross, had a crown of thorns the size of my little finger shoved down in his head. You know how bad a briar hurts? Man, imagine a crown of thorns shoved down in your head. He was, listen, beat, mocked, spit on. But he went to that cross and he took on my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. And he gave up his life. Nobody took it. And they placed him in an old barred tomb. And on the third day, he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Folks, the most important thing you can ever do in your entire life is to ask Jesus into your heart and into your life. And know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. Not hope so, not maybe so, not 98% sure. Like old country preacher said one time, hey, I'm not your judge, I'm not your jury. You're never going to stand in front of me, but if you're 98% sure, you're probably 100% lost. You've got to know so. Listen, I'm so saved, a mosquito could bite me and he'd fly away singing, there's power in the blood. Amen? But listen, I mess up. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Folks, you got to know that you know. You say, man, when you go through a crisis like that, what do you do with this verse? Man, when I was pastor, my wife gave me this verse. I was going through a very hard time. And at the bottom of a letter, she wrote 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. God doesn't have plans for disaster for you, but plans for a great future and great hope. Can I tell you something? When you go through a crisis like we went through last year, you hold on to that verse tighter than you ever have. Because last year, I really believe that my family, we lived that Footprints poem. Lord, during the hardest times of our life, there was only one set of footprints. Did you leave us? No, my child, my precious son. That's when I picked you up and I carried you. He carried our whole family. You know why? Because he's faithful. He loves us. Can I tell you something? Each and every one of you are going to go through a crisis. Each and every one of you are going to go through a valley. And it's so much better to go through it with Jesus. It's so much better to go through it with your church family. I don't know what we would have done without our church family. Prayers from all over the world that we felt. Listen, books on grief that your pastor sent us regularly. I knew he was praying for us. I knew y'all were praying for us. And we're so grateful for those prayers. Here's what I'm going to say to you this morning. If you're here today and you're lost, you may not even came here planning on getting saved. You might have just planned on coming to go to a church service. But I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you, and he wants today to be the day of your salvation. And if you're one of those hope-sos or maybe-sos, or you're one of those I'm 98% sure, listen, you need to make today, the day of your salvation. You don't need to let your pride stand in the way. Listen, you just need to come, trust Jesus. Well, I ain't got it all figured out. None of us do. That's why it says coming by faith. You're coming by faith, believing in him. Man, can I tell you something? There's a difference in head knowledge and heart knowledge. Head knowledge is you've heard the gospel, what I just presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Heart knowledge is you receive him and ask him to come into your life. And you make it real. You make it personal. Friend, I don't know your condition, but I know this. He wants to save you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You say, preacher, that's me. I believe with all my heart God wants to save me. I believe with all my heart he's speaking to me. Friend, if that's you right now, I'm going to lead you in what we call in the church a simple sinner's prayer. And I want you to just know that you're not praying any magic words, but you're meaning business with God in your heart. You're not praying this to the Missouri Baptist. You're not praying it to the Southern Baptist. You're praying it to the Lord Jesus. You say, man, that's what I want to do. Well, I'm going to pray aloud, and you just pray softly or silently where you are to the Lord. Lord Jesus, the very best way I know how. Lord, I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. Lord, today I come believing by faith in the finished work of Calvary, a bloody cross and an empty tomb. Lord, today I surrender all that I am to you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Right now, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. You say, man, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it with all my heart. I know the Lord heard me, and I know he saved me. If that's you right now, would you just slip your hand up real high in there? Real high. Just leave it up there just a second. You say, man, I know that I'm saved, but there's an area too in my life that I just need a fresh touch from God. Would you pray for me, preacher? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Amen, 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 I see you. Amen, I see you in the back. Amen, ma'am, I see you. Amen, ma'am, I see you in the back. Any others?
Maybe you struggled with depression, discouragement. Maybe you went through some dark times. Man, you just need to get in this altar. Right now, here's what I want to ask. If you raised your hand, pray for me, preacher, you should have. I want to ask you right now to just step up and step out before the music even starts. Step up and step out and just come to this altar and just find yourself a place in this altar. I believe with all my heart this altar ought to be full this morning. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, listen, leaders in the church, people bringing their bride, bringing their family. When's the last time you were in an old-fashioned altar with your family? Lord, this is your invitation. God, have your way and have your will right now.